Welcome back to People Under the Scares podcast, where we discuss everything scary, spooky, and disturbing in horror. This is Mike.
And this is Bobby.
Today, we are beginning our dive into the first of three films that I would say are unique and mesmerizing. And that would be for Phantasm, which was the winner of our polls that we put out last week on social media. If you would like to participate in those polls, you could go ahead and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at people_scares. And while you're doing all those things, you could also go ahead and follow us, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Whatever you're listening to right now, you can do those things. But before we get into that, we have a very special, apparently, addition to our segment for...
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
And in this segment, we mentioned some controversial horror take that we saw, read, or heard that just might be worthy of a dragging. That's typically what we do, but we've received some news in the horror community today that is quite a choice.
So today... we were surprised by receiving some news from the horror community, and not even just the community, but just the Hollywood horror part of the world. I don't know. Anyway, it was announced that Melissa Barrera, that was starring in Scream 5 and in Scream 6, is no longer parts of Scream 7. She has been quietly, and I do the quotation, quietly let go from the movie. And she's no longer involved.
And the reasoning was?
So in this world right now, we have a lot going on where, you know, everybody is...
It's Israel trying to dismantle Hamas,
yes,
which is an extremist group located in Gaza. However, they are murdering civilians in Gaza in order to get to these people. So, The numbers just increase day by day by day.
Yes, and this involves children and just all different types of people. And this has been ongoing for a very long time, and a lot of people have been vocal about it, including celebrities. And unfortunately, one of the celebrities was Melissa Barrera. And the reason why I say unfortunately is because of what happened, but I will say what she has said on her social media, I don't find a problem. So some of the things that she has said, I'm going to read. Somebody had taken a screenshot off her Instagram stories. You know, they're messy for that. But, you know, maybe they did it because they went to say, oh, like Melissa Barrera, she's, you know, she's for the people or something like that. I don't know, child. But one of the things she said is, I too come from a colonized country. Palestine will be free. And then let's see what else you have. I have been actively looking for videos and information about the Palestine side for the last 2 weeks or so, following accounts, etc. Why? Because Western media only shows the other side. Why they do that, I will let you deduce for yourself. Usually, the algorithm on social media gets the gist. Well, my discovered page on Instagram will only show me videos showing talking about the Israeli side. Censorship is very real. Palestine knows this. They know the world has been trying to make them invisible for decades. And then she puts, keep sharing. And then she has other things, I believe, too. But that's so far what I have. So obviously she's siding with Palestine and because of all the horrific things that are happening there. And due to her being very vocal about it, Spyglass Pictures, which produce a lot of movies, including the new Scream movies, let her go. And we're unhappy.
Yes, and I definitely saw people unhappy online, and I completely understand. It would be one thing if she were saying something outright anti-Semitic, but I have noticed that if you show any sort of empathy for Palestine or Palestinian people, especially located in Gaza, people try to spin that as saying, well, then that means you are anti-Semitic because you have an issue with how the Palestinians are being treated there. Which is crazy to me. That's a huge leap, because you could show sympathy towards one group of people.
Yeah.
And that should not be a problem. I just...
Like, it's just crazy to me, though, Mike, because, like, in this world, and, like, you know, I guess Me Too and just people allowed to speak opinions, like, we always have been, but now you'll get canceled for, like, the littlest things and stuff like that now. And you know, rightfully so in some cases, you know what I mean? Because some things are just not right. But there's a lot of celebrities that get away with a bunch of shit, way worse than what Melissa and even Susan Sarandon did, because Susan was let go from her agency as well. They're just showing their support for people that are going through a very, 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 very tough time.
And Susan Sarandon, she just went to a march in support of Palestine.
Right. And they're being let go because in some way, shape, or form, this is condoning anti-Semitic behavior and then a whole bunch of other things. And I disagree, my personal beliefs, I disagree. But, you know, it sucks. And back to Melissa, we've been saying this in our chat. We don't want to support Scream 7 because of those reasons. You know, like, you're going to let go one of the stars of, like, you know, a rejuvenated franchise, one of the biggest stars in that rejuvenated franchise, because of the opinion that they had, where you got all these other people in the world that are just saying horrible shit or doing fucked up things. And it sucks. I will not be supporting Scream 7 as far as going to the movie theater. I will watch it in other ways. And so this is $3.99, baby.
Her statement about wanting to see the Palestinian, like the algorithms, I want to see the Palestinian side of things. To me, it sounds like she just wants a balanced viewpoint of everything. It isn't saying that, oh, I don't give a fuck what y'all talking about. I want to see the other side.
Right.
If all she's seeing is the IDF and their side of things, then obviously that... I'm getting more irritated the more we talking about this, because it immediately makes me think of, you're not allowed to criticize any governments, and if you criticize the governments or the media, then there's something wrong with you. And then because this isn't new, is not new. There have been celebrities for decades who've spoken out against wars, who have spoken out against many things, and then they are treated like pariah because of that. You should be able to show some sort of sympathy towards groups of people, regardless of what the situation is.
Right.
And I, you know.
And you're right. Like, I feel like she just wanted to see both sides, like everybody would. I want to see what's happening on both sides so we can get a better idea of what the fuck is going on. You know what I mean? So, like, just by her being vocal and caring about these people and, you know, wanting to see the truth and just everything that's happening, for her to get, you know, I guess, I'm not going to say silence, because she's still going, and that's fine. She's not silenced at all. And I'm happy that she's still going regardless of what's happening, if her career is in stake or whatever the case may be. She's still going for what she believes in. And I love that about her. I hope that she keeps speaking on things that she believes in. And like I said,
keep your head up high.
Yeah. So they're coming to get you, Barbara, for fucking Spyglass Pictures, bitch. Everybody attack them. The fuck? Like, and then they're trying to turn it around and say like some other things, like there's other comments that she made or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But we still have yet to see that proof. So yeah, let us know if you guys are still going to support Scream 7. I mean, as dedicated, I'm sure a lot of you guys are, but just how they are handling this situation, I'm just not here for it. But I will also say too that we talked about this in our group chat, that it's funny seeing, well, it's actually pretty cool, not funny. It's pretty cool to see Melissa Barrera get all this love and people have her back. Whereas though not long ago, everybody was coming for her neck based on her performance in Scream 5. And now granted, even though those are two separate things, like this is something serious, then that's like, you know, make believe. But I feel like if Scream 6 didn't happen and we still were stuck with Scream 5, I think people would have been okay with her going just because, oh, she sucked anyway, so we don't care. But being as though that now we got Scream 6 and she did an amazing job and she showed that she can actually lead the rest of this franchise, a lot of people are upset. And I'm here that people's, you know, they got her back. They finally on the Melissa Barrera train.
I don't even know what else to say about that.
Yeah.
It is very frustrating. I'm curious to see how this is going to impact the industry just in general, because you do have numerous celebrities that do want to express themselves and do publicly. And yeah, we'll see within the next coming weeks what's going to happen regarding this, because I noticed that, you know, the kids at TikTok, that I've seen videos where they show the celebrities that support one side over the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious if that's going to have some sort of impact on people's careers.
Yeah. I feel like this is not the end. I feel like a lot more people is going to be dropped from movies and their agencies and, you know, all different types of stuff. So unfortunately, that sucks. And I hope that changes. And for Melissa Barrera, hopefully something changes where they can work something out, bring her back in, and continue on the, you know.
I say fuck movie. Them, personally. Make them beg and grovel. And they'd be like, you know what? I just wanted to see you do that. I'm good.
Yeah.
I am good.
Right. Yeah.
Replace me with somebody else.
Well, you know, it's Sydney Prescott, Neve Campbell, they're just going to bring her right on in because that was the plan all along, right? So
I'm going to shut my ass up. Not going to say a word.
So this just opened up space for a bigger story for Sydney and got one less character to worry about. Even though I hope the rest of the cast side with Melissa and they have no choice but to bring her back if everybody walks, because they can't recast the whole entire movie. So, or maybe they can. Who knows? It will suck, probably, but
we will see in the coming days. But on the Phantasm.
Phantasm. If this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. Phantasm, rated R.
So I had to look up the definition of phantasm because I wasn't too sure what it meant. And so it is a product of fantasy, such as illusions, ghosts / specters, or a figment of imagination. So, knowing the definition, rewatching this movie, I'm like, okay, that makes sense by the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And because I just thought, oh, it's a ghost. That's just what I thought it meant.
Yeah, I thought phantasm was like some type of ghost, like you said, or like some apparition or something like that along those lines. But this definition makes a lot of sense given, like you said, what happened at the end of this movie. And when I rewatched it a second time, I realized some things too. So I'm just like, okay, this makes a lot more sense to me.
Hmm. I'm very curious to know what you think of this film, Bobby. Okay, but let me just get real quick. Sorry, y'all, I got to make a deposit in the bathroom, so I'm sounding crazy.
What kind of deposit?
I have to give birth to a child from my belly or intestines. Wait, colon?
Yeah.
I don't know. Wait, the intestinal tract is attached. Never mind. I got to go to the bathroom, child, while we recording. So
go, come back.
No, I'm already in it now.
Do your business, so, I'll be here.
This is directed, written, edited, and the cinematography all done by Don Coscarelli, which is amazing to me. And then while watching this, I was thinking, like, when we think about directors, I don't really hear his name coming up that much. It's like, I know he's known for, oh God. Why did the name of that movie escape me? Beastmaster. I think it's Beastmaster.
Okay.
Is another one he's known for.
Okay. But, never heard of him.
And then the music. Oh, he also did Bubba Hotep.
Oh, I seen that. That's what Bruce Campbell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I seen that.
And I felt the need, because I love the music in this movie, to mention Fred Myro and Malcolm Seagrave, because this is another one of those movies, like Halloween 1978. I could hear this from outside a room and know what somebody's watching.
Yes.
Based on the music.
Yes. That's 70s and 80s was, you know, a huge, they were really, with their movies, they were very big on the music. So like you said, when you hear it, you know exactly what movie it belongs to. And this is one of them. Like, even like I told you before, like I seen this movie a long time ago, and this was like my first time in a long time watching it in full. I always remember the soundtrack. Like, I always knew what this sound like. So if even when I heard it, I just knew it belonged to Phantasm. And it's great. It's haunting.
Yes.
It's something creepy.
Very uneasy. The look is very uneasy. I'm amazed that he did the cinematography too. I didn't know that at first.
He had a vision.
Starring Lawrence Rory Guy, or as his stage name is, Angus Scrimm as the tall man. A. Michael Baldwin as Mike. Bill Thornbury, or my boo of the movie, as Jody.
He's so cute.
Reggie Bannister as Reggie. And Kathy Lester, I'm adding in here, as the lady in lavenders, because there's something about her that is intriguing to me.
Not me.
The look she be giving.
You know what it is?
She be giving the...
She is, but when I first put this on, the tall man is a big old bottom. He's fucking men in a female form. And he's enjoying it before he kills them. Did you not like realize that? Like,
I did.
The form, like the soon as this film come on, we're in a sex scene in the cemetery, and literally we don't know this is the tall man yet. You just see a male and a female having sex in the cemetery, and they're obviously done. You know, they are finished, you know. And then she proceeds to kill him.
Or he's finished.
Well, he's finished, yeah. And yeah, like, he's finished. Maybe it appeared that she was finished too. I don't know. But obviously, the lady in lavender was very generous, because she killed him right after he bust his nut. Then we get a quick flash that it was the tall man. So clearly,
yes,
the tall man is taking form I can't talk today. He's taking form
of a woman.
Yeah, he's taking form of a woman, and he's letting the person finish, and then he kills them. And I'm just like, you had this whole opportunity to kill this man, but you wait until y'all both get your, you know. So I think the tall man really wanted some dick. And the only way he can get it is becoming that, and then I'll kill you and use you later for whatever I need you to be. And he does this again. He tries to do this again.
I think he gets pleasure out of fucking with people, not in that way, but fucking with people just in general.
No.
And first of all,
Mike, there's no, so he wasn't fucking with nobody no other way except for this moment, and then the other moment when he tried to do it again. And then besides Mike having these little,
he's
business,
going after men who clearly have no control over themselves.
Yeah.
First of all, why are you busting nuts on a grave in the graveyard on a grave?
That's fine.
That's disrespectful. And that's fine.
I said that's fine.
See, I knew it. That's why I put that question in here. Do you bust nuts in cemeteries?
I do not. I never done that. When I was younger, I was offered to go to a cemetery and have big fun there, and see the wretched. But I did not. And because I feel like that is disrespectful. Like, I don't want to be on top of bodies doing that. That's a form of disrespect to me. Like, let people rest in peace. And that's, you know, disturbing the peace, I should say.
He's lying, y'all.
No.
He's busting it open on the damn grave.
I was busting it open in other places, but not in the graveyard. I'm not trash. I'm not trash from Return of the Living Dead. But other places.
Tonight.
Yep. But yeah, the tall man, I think he is a homosexual. He's gay. And this is just a form of him hiding it, getting his thing, you know, his dick. And then he reveals himself after the person's dying, after he kills them.
I don't even know. We don't know. So I'm trying to operate on the idea we just have this movie, pretending I haven't seen any of the sequels, which I really actually only seen up to the third one. So the other one or two, I think there's two more after that one. I don't.
There's a recent one too. Well, there's one that came out like 7 years ago, I think. 6-7 years ago.
But if I'm just watching this movie and only this movie, I don't know if he has any genitalia based on the blood that he has and shit and what's going on later in the movie. But, you know, I think he just does what he needs to do to get people to the mausoleum so he can kill them.
In the most vulnerable way. But you could have done that way sooner. Why do you wait until literally after that to do, like, until to kill them? Like, for instance,
when
he's trying to get Jody. And he's at the bar. Well, the lavender lady is at the bar, and then they go to the cemetery to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
On the way there, she could have killed them.
But that is the site where the bodies are taken. But yeah, I think the lady in lavender or the tall man, that's where all the, that's, it's going to be easiest. Excuse me. To deal with the bodies when they're right there. I think, because also something we saw in the movie at one point is Mike goes to, he's sent to the antique shop by his brother Jody to be safe or whatever. And he sees a photo of the tall man in the horse and carriage. And obviously it's like a black and white / sepia photo. And which started to move, by the way. But
yeah, it reminds me of it. Remember when the photo started moving when they were looking through it and Pennywise was doing cartwheels and backflips, jumping on a street light. So, and I love that. And then the photo with Georgie as well. Something about that has always been creepy. Like somebody looking at a photo and all of a sudden it just starts moving. Like,
because it's not supposed to.
Right. If I make a film though, I want to incorporate that into my film because that's like one of the creepiest things to me ever. Because like you said, it shouldn't be moving. Why is it moving?
No.
And in this movie, when you see the tall man with the horse and carriage, and he just turns around and like, look, it was just creepy. Ugh.
It's almost like Bagul from Sinister. Like he was watching the monitor and it was frozen or paused, and then his head moved any fucking way and looked out of the camera. But yeah, that's the opening. The tall man fucks some man and kills him in the cemetery. And then we're met up with our other characters. We meet Jody, Mike, and Reggie. Jody and Reggie are friends, and the guy who got killed is Tommy, their other friend. interesting. She knew she could fuck all three of them, and they'd be stupid enough to fall for any of her for her wiles.
Mm-hmm.
So we find out that Mike and Jody's parents have been dead. I believe it was a car accident, but I'm not sure. I could be mixing that up with somebody else.
Yeah.
So they've passed. Jody is maybe a Sagittarius. He likes the freedom and being on the road. Mm-hmm. And he has to take care of his brother, even though he's planning on pawning him off onto their aunt and leaving him.
Right.
And Mike knows this, and so he's constantly following him because he's afraid he's going to be left.
So what sign you would pin Mike? Because you're right, you're spot on with Jody being a Sag.
Mike is, let's see, doesn't mind his business. Inquisitive, doesn't listen.
Hard-headed.
Taurus?
Bitch. But you know what? You're right. We are hard-headed. We don't mind our business. Sometimes we are nosy. And we are stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
We're stubborn. So he might be
I would tell you, Bobby, no, we're not going in that house. The next thing I know, you in the house. And I have to decide if I got to go in there and help you or not. Okay, I have a question. How would you describe this movie? Let's say I'm someone who's never seen this. Right. Convince me to watch this movie. How would you describe it?
I would say if you're into films that are bizarre, because this film is very bizarre, and you're curious of the unknown, and you want somewhat of a film that's very, I'm not going to say polarizing, because I feel like this film has a lot of fans and a lot of people like it. Oh my gosh.
Hold on. Are they fighting?
Ooh, no, it's the wind. It's so loud.
Oh. What? I thought that was the dogs this whole time making that noise.
No, I told you it was the wind. The window's right here and it's literally making that noise. My dogs are quiet for once.
That's why it sounded like singing early.
No, it's the wind. I told you. Hold on. Open the window slightly so hopefully it calms down. It is cool.
Hail to the guardians of the watchtowers of the west. Whatever one is air, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
And Mother and that wasn't air.
Okay. Water, intuition, I don't remember the other one.
Water and lube.
Air.
Fire and
something and invention, she said. I don't know.
When we're done.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie is very bizarre. I would just say if you're into the unknown and you're into kind of like fantasy, but with some horror elements and some bizarre things happening, then it's for you, because I don't know what to categorize this movie outside of horror. Like, I don't know. Because again, I haven't seen this in so long, and I forgot, like, when, by the end of this film, I said, okay, it makes sense, but it don't make sense. And it had me wondering a lot of things. So I have to watch the sequels to maybe have this, to see what happens. And as the story continues, maybe get more answers, but mm-hmm. being left off right here, is a big question mark. But you know, I do know that this is supposed to end as a dream, or spoilers. So we thought is a dream. Spoiler alert! But this movie is like, what, how old now? Like almost 50 years old. So,
yeah.
So it's like 40 something years old. So, yeah, like it's there's some things in here that are confusing, but it's still entertaining. I know that's a long description.
Based on that, I would not watch this movie. What you just said.
Because I don't know what to say. Like, how can you describe this movie? Like, there's just a big ass, you know, a nosy ass kid in his, you know, place, the cemetery and stuff. And there's this tall ass old man chasing him for whatever reason. Yes. Let's get into the you man. See metal spears flying around the fucking room. We don't even know where the fuck they come from and why they're needed yet. And they drain people blood. And then you got goblins and dwarves. Like, there's so much happening. It's so fantasy, but also horror. Like, so
Don Coscarelli said that this was inspired by dreams he had when he was younger. So basically, he in his late teens, he dreamed of being of fleeing down endlessly long marble corridors, which we know is the mausoleum in this, mm-hmm. and pursued by chrome spheres intent on penetrating his skull with a wicked needle. So it's weird shit. And even like the scene with the finger, that's something, not a dream, but that's something he did. So like he stuck his finger through the bottom of a cup and thought that would be a cool effect to have in a movie. So he added that addition to it. Watching this, I could see how this could be a dream because it does feel kind of all over the place like nightmares do.
Oh yeah.
Like there's not an explanation really for me just in this one movie. I know certain things are happening. So we know the tall man is overseeing the mausoleum. We know that he's taking dead bodies and sending them to another planet or grave and shrinking them down.
Yes.
And to another world that's red.
A realm, yes. And he's using the dwarves. So the dead bodies, he's reanimating them, but he's shrinking the bodies down. So technically they're like zombies, but they're dwarves wearing brown cloaks. And he's using them for whatever bidding. And we get a hint later on in the film, the other world where these dwarves are, I guess, being used as slaves for whatever reason. We don't even know what's going on with that world. We don't know what they're working on, what they're trying to do. But we do see them throughout the movie. That is an interesting concept. But you are right as well. Like, I can see how if these came from his actual dreams, this makes a lot of sense, you know, because dreams are like that. When you have dreams, things don't make sense. Sometimes you could be dreaming about being at home and then you turn around and you're at a cafe in New York and you ran into somebody from work. But then somebody that you met 20 years ago end up being behind you and you're talking to them. And it's just like a whole, like, dreams could just be so fucking weird. But in this movie, it just has to make sense. So, yeah, it is very scary with a lot of the things that we are seeing, but a lot of it doesn't make sense to me. So hopefully in the future films, we get to see those things make a little bit more sense. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Let's talk about the tall man for a little bit. He is the villain of the movie. So when we're first introduced to him, we're first introduced to him in the beginning. Well, obviously, he fucked that man, Tommy. Okay. And also, we don't know, because the tall man could have been pegging Tommy. We don't know what was going on behind that, that tombstone.
He just was like, oh, that was great. And she was giving him a look with her holding her titties. And she was like, oh, yeah. And then she took the knife. And then, let me stop, she didn't say that. But then she took the knife and just that.
What if somebody started doing that if they weren't satisfied sexually and so she just started killing the man?
Hey, I mean, I don't know. But let me ask you a question. So do you think it would work if we weren't revealed so fast about the tall man? Like, because in the beginning, right off the bat, when we seen the flash between the Lavender Lady, and then it turns into the
first of all, we're gonna get her name correct. Lady in Lavender.
Lavender Lady, I like that better. It's Kent.
Lavender Lady sounds like a friend of Power Rangers or some shit that's helping that's them fine. Fight.
Child, her role was not that big. She's not even real. It's the tall man the whole time. She's just wearing purple, so she's called the Lady in Lavender. That's fine. I like Lavender Lady better. It's Kent.
Okay, I cut you off. What was you? What were you saying?
So my question to you was, do you think it was being as though that the tall man was revealed early, it took away from the, you know, the mystery of him? Because literally, like, right when it was revealed, we was just like, oh, we know something's up with him. Like, it wasn't really, I mean, we got a little mystery when, obviously, when the funeral happened and he picked up that huge-ass casket by himself. But we already knew something was up with him right after, you know, right out the gate when we seen those flashes in the beginning of the film.
Well, I don't know. No, because I think I prefer it being this way just because I like the unsettled feeling from the beginning.
Okay.
And also, movies can work if they don't initially out the gate give you like this. But I kind of like the idea of, okay, something's off. I don't really know what. And then in another scene, we see him carrying a coffin by himself without any, like it was a piece of paper or an empty box. And so that's another thing that's weird. And I kind of liked it because I didn't know what his deal was. I still, from this first movie, low-key, still don't know what it is. But right. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they should have just kept the lady stabbing him, and then that's it. We shouldn't get, it shouldn't have been revealed yet. Oh,
you mean specifically that scene? Okay, yeah, that I agree with. Yeah, that would have worked better if we didn't see, like, maybe we got a flashback or something. No, we don't even need that.
No.
To your point, it would have worked better, I think, if we just saw the lady in lavender, and then when she stabs Reggie in the end. Again, this is spoilers. Then we see the transition between the two.
Yeah. So it's just like, because the whole movie be like, well, who's this bitch? You know, like, what is she doing? Mm. And then your answer is revealed when all the stuff is going down. So yeah, they should have revealed that a little later.
Walking around. He is, I think that man is, I think they said 6'4". He's tall as hell already. And they had to make him look even taller in some scenes. Which is crazy to me. So the way he's walking in, like, this one particular scene, he's walking down the street and Mike is watching him.
Yes.
And he walks by the ice cream truck and
he
then
stops.
The cool air, and he's like, oh, wait, there was actually a quote from the director. He said, is he in agony or is he in ecstasy? Which I think is perfect because I can't tell based on his reaction to the cool air from the ice cream truck.
Kyle, it looked like he was in ecstasy. When he was inhaling that, he was just like, oh. It was kind of just like how Winifred and her sisters are feeling after they suck in the lives of all of their children. It was like, ooh. So that was the... Literally, that's the tall man. He was feeling it. But that was a creepy moment. Like, to see him just walk down the street. And he just... His presence is just disturbing, man. The way he walked, the way he just looks, and he does the whole eyebrow and his eyes like this. And he's like, boy, like being a kid and seeing somebody like that, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. And then I will say too, like, I just realized, I know I'm jumping ahead, but I feel like the tall man represents death.
Mm.
That's what he symbolizes in this movie. And his occupation is perfect because pretty much you have to handle dead folks. But I think this is Mike's version in his head of what death is, like the Grim Reaper.
Right.
Again, I haven't seen the other films. I don't think I've seen part three, but part two I think I've seen, but I don't remember. So I don't remember what happened in those films, but judging by this film, that's what he's giving. He's giving like an entity of sorts.
Okay. So Mike decides he is going to go to the mausoleum at night to investigate with his Taurus self. And why? I don't really know. He just knows there's weird shit going on. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. Was this before or after he follows Mike and the Lavender Lady?
I think. Oh, yeah. Because there's so many times they, like, revisit.
It's back and forth and shit.
Yeah, it is. It's so many. I'm about to say after.
It's after. Yeah, because he had already saw the little monsters, which are played by children, by the way. He already saw them ahead of time. So he was watching his brother about to get his freak on with Lady in Lavender. And then one of these hooded children comes running after him in the woods. And then he runs past his brother and shit, which saved his life. He would have ended up dead.
Yeah, because he was being nosy, following his brother, about to watch him get it in with Lady Lavender. And when this ghoul was chasing him, you know, like you said, saved his older brother. So why is he following his brother? Like, because he's been doing this a lot throughout the film.
So like, he's was telling clingy. Earlier in the movie, when Jody was in front of the house, he saw another old friend. And he was asking him, why is he there? And he let him know that he's watching after Mike, but he's going to be leaving, and he's going to send him to be with their aunt. And he thinks Mike knows that, and that's why he keeps following him everywhere. He's afraid he's just literally going to up and leave.
Oh.
Which is why later on, when well into the movie, when Mike is being carried up the stairs by Jody, he's like, no, you're going to leave me. You're going to leave me and some shit. That's kind of, which, now that I'm thinking about it, because there's interpretations of this. Some people think that this movie is a play on his trauma from the deaths, because spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, we find out Jody's been dead.
Yeah.
Now, Reggie mentioned he hasn't been right since the funeral last week, which leads me to believe Jody just died. Even though his parents died earlier than that. So if it's trauma he's dealing with, that line, you're going to leave me, you're going to leave me, is him like not being able to let go of his brother.
Right.
And then there's the other thing, like all of this is actually happening, which if there's sequels, I'm assuming it is, but we will see. We will see, because I don't remember the plots or the ends of those movies.
Right. Yeah, I was sad because I didn't remember that Jody was dead. And then at the end, when it was revealed that he was dead, I'm just like, oh no, he's gone. Or you said, wait, big booty.
I said good. I didn't say big.
Oh, you said
good. Which is not even his.
Oh, so that was a body double?
That was a body double. Yeah, and the lady in Lavender.
It was just tidy whitey. So what? Yeah, like did we see his bare ass? I don't remember. No.
What I remember is that neither him or the lady in Lavender were the actors when the clothes were off.
Oh, boo. Now we need to find a body double. Yeah, that was a nice push.
I could have been the body double.
Child, you different shade, honey. They would know it's not you. I mean, not Jody. You're like, who's this person? but you know, yeah, I like Jody a lot in here. And like I said, I was disappointed when I, you know, to find out that he was dead. But yeah, we'll get there towards the end of this film, because I have thoughts on how things also made sense while it was a dream, but I'll wait until we get further into the movie.
Okay, so Mike goes to investigate the mausoleum, and he's basically walking into another nightmare at this point. So he breaks into the mausoleum. So first of all, where's the cops at in this damn town?
Nowhere.
That also leads me to believe this is a little, because the only scene I feel like there's a lot of people is the funeral scene. Other than that, it just seems very, not Springwood, Haddonfield-ish to me from when we were watching. But I was like, there's nobody in this fucking town other than the people in this movie.
So, actually, you know what? I'm going to just bring it up now, because my thought on this. So, you mentioned that. If you realize throughout this whole movie, we're following Mike. We don't really see, like, with Jody and, who's the ice cream man again? I forgot his name. Reggie. We don't really see.
Ooh, Loki can get it, too.
Choices. Yeah. Choices.
Yes.
He literally reminds me of the Ice Cream Man, the horror movie The Ice Cream Man.
He has ice cream. Okay, there's a benefit. Do you know how many banana splits and strawberry shortcakes I can get?
Yeah, with eyeballs and all different types mm-hmm. of things and teeth.
Not from that one.
They're brothers.
They're happy and singing in the color. Bah, bah, bah. Give me a high five.
But yeah, so if you realize that everything is from Mike's point of view, even when we have those little scenes of Jody and Reggie, they're very short. So this is what I picked up on the second watch. So this is how I knew it was really a dream, because all those scenes we do have with Jody and Reggie by themselves, Mike was aware of those things because they made it known that, oh, this is what I'm about to do or whatever, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So obviously in his dreams, he can make that. He knew what they were doing. So that's why we're seeing it. But throughout the whole film, we're following Mike. And we got very small moments with Jody and Reggie by themselves. Everything is just following Mike. So this is another idea how you can pick up that this is a dream.
Yeah, there was even a moment I was like, do they have a psychic, before I knew it was a dream. But like, yeah. Are they cyclic, this word is fucking me up. Psychically linked. The moment where Jody is at the house and I don't know, he falls asleep at some point. And this is when Mike is, where the fuck is he? He was supposed to be with the ladies at the antique shop and he wanted them to take him home. And they were in the car, and then we see Reggie's ice cream truck turned over, which, to your point, Mike knew that Reggie was leaving and had that thing in the car. We didn't see a death or an attack or anything, but Mike was aware that they were together. So for him to see the ice cream truck, he deduced that, okay, well, he's probably dead. And then the little children come and attack the car, throw his ass out the back
so window. Why? Mike, this scene had me cracking up because those doors was fucking them up. The girls were screaming. They were fucking Mike up. You just see his head bobbing back and forth. They were shaking him. And then I rewinded it like 3 times because I said, no fucking way. The 70s, they have a thing with choking and just shaking people. And just
it would be, imagine being in a situation and hooded figures that come up to your waist and you can't see their face or any fucking thing. It's just a hood and fucked up hands, and they immediately hop up in the car. I don't even know how the one got in the back seat with him.
Right,
they open one door and next thing I know they're fighting one up front and he's getting his ass beat in the back seat.
Mike, I thought it was one because I only see one. I was just like, oh shit. And then I see two and Mike get his ass whooped in the back. The other one is attacking the two girls. That shit had me rolling. And then he's tossed out the back window and the girls are still screaming, driving.
Done left him. Which was confusing to me because they go off into the darkness, which also could fall into this is a dream. He wouldn't know what happens after that.
Right.
But this is the point where he's on the ground, he's knocked out, and it's like him and Jody seem linked. Like it's almost like Jody can sense he's in danger. Yeah. And that wakes Mike up. It's weird. I don't know.
Because Jody was sitting there, right? And it looked like he was in a trance. And they kept cutting back and forth. And I was just like, okay, are they linked? Before I knew this was a dream as well. I thought this was like a psychic connection as well. But then I was like, there's more confusion. Because why is that the case now? Why are they fucking linked? You know, like, what's going on?
And right before that, the tall man, he fell asleep. Jody fell asleep and he saw the tall man walking towards him, and then a body busted out of the, I don't know what you call, I don't know if they're called the graves in the mausoleum, but it busted out and snatched Jody up, and then he woke from that, and then he saw Mike. It's kind of all over. I would describe this as just, these are a lot of fucked up moments put together to display what could be a nightmare, because it's very... I don't know. I don't know how to say it other than it confuses the fuck out of me and it creeps me out how confused I am while watching this movie.
Yeah. That's why I said it was so bizarre watching this. That's all I got. But then when we got the end, it kind of helped out. But I just took it. This is just Mike's way of dealing with his trauma, his trauma, with his brother and his parents. And he sees death as this tall person. And then I guess the spheres or whatever, they're just, I don't know what the fuck they are. And then the goblins, well, not the goblins, but the, I'm gonna just say the ghouls, because I like that better. The ghouls are just, and technically they are ghouls if you think about it. They're
the ghouls.
Yeah, they can be conjured up from a nightmare. I was hoping to see their faces more, but now that I realize that they're just dead people and they're just shrunken down to size, it makes sense.
We forgot to mention that the reason they knew what the tall man was doing is they came across Tommy, the man who was pegged and killed by the lady in lavender in the beginning, but he was shrunk down and put into one of those cloaks.
Yep.
So they figure, okay, all of these things are dead people, and he's using people who have died, and he's killing people as well.
Yeah.
It's not just bodies that happen to already be there.
Right. They found that out because they were being chased by a car, and it was like, this car is chasing us, and there's nobody driving it. What the fuck? And then when it crashed, that's how it was revealed that it was one of the ghouls, and they were impelled by like a tree or something, and they were dying. So Jody removed the hood, and it ended up being Tommy. And he was like, oh fuck. So then he goes to a payphone and calls Reggie, saying like, we need your help, come on down, but failed to tell him that it's fucking Tommy and the dwarf side. But I guess he was smart, because I guess he wouldn't believe him. Like, I wouldn't say that too if I needed the help. You know what I mean? So that was a smart thing to do. Because if I would say like, hey, Tommy's alive and he was driving, they'd be like, what the fuck? We went to a funeral, like we carried him. Like, it can't be real. So he did the smart thing by not saying it, getting his help, then finally showing him, hey, this is Tommy. I don't know what the fuck is happening, but he's a little person now, and he's trying to kill us.
I feel like they had an underreaction to their friend not only already being dead, but they were being chased and almost killed by someone who used to be their friend, who is now shrunk down to a half or a third of his regular size.
Right.
I think I would have had a stronger reaction to that.
Yeah.
Just me.
I agree. If I had one of my, like, God forbid, one of my friends passed away and I'm being chased by somebody in a cloak, and all of a sudden it's revealed that it's my friend, but they're now smaller and they're trying to kill me, and I know they're dead and they look dead. Yeah, I would be freaking the fuck out. They weren't freaking out. Like, they were just like, okay. Like, life goes on. It's so weird.
Which may be because it's a dream. It's just, this is just our world we're living in. There's no reason to panic.
Yeah.
We didn't mention the spheres. Well, we didn't talk about it. So when Mike initially went into the mausoleum, he was being nosy, checking shit out, and he saw like a caretaker in there, which is another fucking, like, okay, so he also has familiars or some shit in there, zombies or whatever the fuck they are, helping him out. And so Mike gets caught by one, and a sphere is zooming around and it's trying to kill him.
Yeah.
But Mike darts out of the way, and then the sphere just pops onto this man's forehead and then drills into his head. And then it like drains blood, a lot of blood.
Squirting it out.
From his head. Then the man falls, and then we see urine. Like, so that sphere had him fucked up.
I got a headache. When I watched it, I had a headache. I was just like, oh my gosh. I remember seeing this as a kid too. Again, just clips. And I knew what those spheres did, because I seen clips of them attacking people and being stuck to their head and draining blood and squirting it out from the other end. But I did not get any answers to why that was happening in this movie. Like, what is the point? of those.
So what I will say is the original cut that he was going to have for like the screening or the preview was like 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. So it had way more information. There was more context between the relationships of the characters. It was an alternate ending with the tall man's quote unquote death. But from what I remember, from what I'm understanding, they used some of the information and shit from that they didn't use and put it in a future movie. So I guess to give it more context, basically, we're supposed to know at the end of this franchise what the fuck is going on.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to get more of those answers. Hopefully I get some answers in part 2 and 3 when we cover them. Because I know we're not doing the other ones anytime soon, but part 2 and 3, hopefully we get something.
Something. Jody locks Mike upstairs in his room.
In his room, yeah.
And goes head towards the mausoleum on his own. Not the mausoleum. They concoct this idea that we're going to get rid of him in the mine shaft.
Yeah.
Nearby. Which is a weird... Okay.
Like, why? It's a plan, but what made you think of the mine?
I guess they figure we need to get rid of him. And... Well, you stabbed his hand or cut or one of his fingers fell off, so we know, and his blood is yellow. So I don't think we can stab him in the heart like Reggie suggested.
But who thinks of the mine shaft and trapping him in? Like, who thinks of that idea? Like, how do you even know that's going to stop him? How do you know that plan is going to even work?
Dolores Claiborne. That's who.
Oh my God. Wait, did we skip the scene with the fucking... So when Mike had the finger and he had it in a little container, like a little jewelry box. Child, this part took me out. I was cracking the fuck up. Somehow this moving finger, because obviously when the tall man was chasing Mike, he, you know, smashed his fingers and he took it with him, blah blah blah, and put it in a little case. But this is when Jody can finally believe Mike, what is actually happening is real. Because yes. Before Jody wasn't like believing in him, he was just like, child, whatever, get out my face. But when Jody seen his finger move inside the box by itself with all this green blood, he was just like, okay, that's enough for me to believe you. So then, you know, Mike goes upstairs, check on the fucking box, and the finger transform into a huge fly. The fly disappears. Mike is looking around, then we just see something crawl in the back of his head, and you just see his hair moving, and it's this fucking huge fly, and Mike is just moving around, this fly is attacking him.
It reminded me of the trilogy of terror with the doll.
The Zuni doll, yeah. Black,
and she's like, doesn't know what the hell the doll is. Yeah.
Yes. They take like a jean jacket, put him in there, and it's swinging it around. This scene is so goofy. And then they take it and go to the sink in the kitchen, turn on the garbage disposal, and they try to put it in there. And they're just like, oh, yeah, it's done. So then Reggie comes knocking on the door. He's like, hey, guys, what's going on? So then Reggie ends up looking inside the drain. The fly just looks. You just see his eye peek through the red eye. And it just zooms out. And attacks them again. And then they put it back in the jean jacket and then finally kill it in the garbage disposal. But this scene was so funny to me. Like, I could not take it serious. Yeah, what were your thoughts on that scene, Mike?
I was a little, like, why is a finger turning into a fly? a fly of all things. Or whatever the fuck it was. I'm assuming a fly because it flew.
And it was buzzing. I guess because it's dead and maggots are attracted to dead things, and I guess the finger was technically a dead thing and it just manifested into a fly. But this is also a dream, and guess what, weird shit happens in dreams, like fingers turn it into flies. So
maybe it's also a dream that he would be given, because I do recall Mike letting him drink and take a hold of shotguns and shit. So I'm one, because he didn't want him doing anything in this movie. So I'm like, why are you giving him guns and he letting him drink and shit around you? He's already about to be over the edge with shit he's seen. So I don't think drinking is going to help.
No.
But he's an older brother, and sometimes I think that just stuff just happens. So I don't know.
True.
We end up at... This is
this movie. Is I swear, all over
I
the
like
place.
This movie, but it is all over the place. There's so much back and forth. I
don't remember the first three times they've been to the mausoleum. Like how many? Like because we revisited so many times, but I be forgetting which part they be going there every time.
So they went there, and they went to the mausoleum, or all end up meeting up at the mausoleum because Michael got snatched up by the tall man, and then he used the gun to bust out the tire and the window, hopped out, and then that, or the hearse, and that crashed and burned, and so we're led to believe tall man's dead, but we know he's not dead.
Of course.
Reggie, who we are supposed to believe is dead, he just pops up and is like, I escaped, and I'm here, and the girls too. I got them out of there, and some other people. I just let them out the window downstairs and let them escape, and they scattered off.
Right.
Okay. And Jody was there, and then the lights go out. This part got me, okay, because I forgot this was in the movie. So the lights go out, and you hear them talking about, "Oh, turn the light on, turn the light on."
Oh, yes.
They flick the lighter, and it's one of the little children ghouls. And it pounced on Mike again to be his ex. And so the lights are out. And then we hear Reggie, he's off by himself. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, fuck. Because he hears the groaning of a little ghoul. And then Jody is somehow outside by himself with the wind. And the lady in lavender is stalking from the cut, looking at him, not saying a word.
All right, so that part was creepy to me, because as he's walking, he got his eye on her, and he's like, okay, I can't keep my eyes off her, and her eyes is literally just following them. But I'm just like, why is he doing that again? Like, he's a little boy. Why would he fall for that? She's a grown-ass woman. She's gonna fuck a little boy. Like, he could at least transform into like somebody his age.
Maybe that's the only one. No, he can transform into other people from what I remember. But in this movie, maybe he can only transform into so let's say he's an alien, right? Let's just say he's not, he's not human. But let's say he's extraterrestrial. Maybe in his eyes, when he sees males, because he is a 13-year-old boy, and it's going to assume that, okay, I am the perfect specimen in this body. So this is what all the males would like. Let me look like this. And look at this lavender I'm wearing. Doesn't this make you want me to cook you breakfast in the morning or some bullshit like that?
And that's another thing. Why lavender? Like, why
it
that?
Stands out.
So does red. That symbolizes...
Yes. But purple... Lavender's a little more creepy.
You think so? I find...
Because it's like, supposed to be...
Lavender, I find, like, comfort to me. I find, like, comfort
at
and
night?
Lavender. Yeah. Yes.
Well, Lady in Red is a song. Wait. It doesn't have the same ring to it. Lady in Lavender sounds like I don't know.
I like but it's different. The Lavender Lady is different. We don't see it in other movies or whatever. Because usually they use women in red or black. So lavender
true
is different.
So maybe that's all she had for wardrobe. And I think she needs a spinoff movie.
Maybe so. Maybe she smells like lavender.
Lady in Lavender and the girl from Teeth would be the perfect team.
Oh my gosh.
To fuck some shit up. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay. You know, describing this, I feel like I'm describing Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yes. How do you describe that? Like, it's so, when movies are weird and just like strange, like, don't get me wrong, like, it makes for a good movie with all the stuff happening. Like, you're intrigued, you're interested. But when you're trying to explain this to somebody and talk about it, it's very, again, it's weird how explaining all of this. So if somebody was to ask me about this movie, like you said earlier, I don't know how I would explain it. I would just pull up the plot on Google or Wikipedia and just tell that to them because I wouldn't know how to say it. You just got this creepy old man stalking his little boy with these metal spheres trying to kill him.
Technically, the boy was stalking him.
Yeah, but this could, if you say as, that the old man is stalking a little boy.
As Gray from Kill the Dead and Gray Mattis has mentioned, this was probably a home invasion because that boy broke into the mausoleum. Yeah. He was not even on whatchamacallit's radar in the stream until he started poking his nose around.
Oh, yeah, when he watched them put in that casket. But then he ran away and he got on his bike. And then the tall man just came out of nowhere and did his little carry moment. Creepy carry, creepy carry. And then he fell off the fucking bike. And then... So I guess the tall man knew that he was there the whole time. But, yeah. So at the end, we get to the Lavender Lady killing Reggie. Like, he fall because he puts his hand on these... well, they go into that room where they see all these, like, containers. And apparently, the doors are living in there. So then when Mike was putting his hand through this, like, machine... It's not even a machine. I don't know what the fuck you call it. Like, what do you call that?
I don't know. It's fuck. What is that thing called? Because they did a flashback to something he did. The little metal prong.
Yeah, with the guitar. Have like
two cylinders.
Yeah,
and so it's a bigger version of that.
I don't know what it is. It's
used for something specific though.
But anyway, there's these two things. And in between it, when you put your hand through it, you can see what's happening on the other side, which where we see those little dwarves in the red world, and they're like marching up this place doing something. And then on the other side where they're at in the mausoleum, you see these containers where the doors are in. So that's when they come to the conclusion, like, oh, well, this guy is using these doors for his work, whatever that is. So Reggie ended up doing like a callback to earlier when he was using the guitar and he did something with his hands. He did the same thing to these poles and then the portal started sucking shit in. So the canisters start going inside the portal. He was about to go inside the portal, but then he went inside a room. He ended up escaping. Everybody's outside. Then he gets outside and then he sees that the Lavender Lady is laying on the ground. And I guess why does he go to her? Like, he don't even fucking know her.
This Mike,
he never seen her before. Like, why would you fall? Like, you never seen this woman.
Because he's trying to save her.
You don't even know she's not bleeding. She's just laying there. Like, anyway, he goes to her and he's trying to help her. And she grabs the dagger that's like inside the ground. She picks it up and stabs Reggie. Kills Reggie. And that's like you said earlier, like she's staring at fucking Mike and all that. I don't remember what happens after this.
So Mike is back at the house.
Yeah.
And the tall man, Mike goes to look out, I guess, one of the shades. And the tall man is there, busts the window or the door.
And that was a good practical effect.
Yeah, and so when we go to a better one. So Mike is like walking through the hallway and it's really dark in this area. And then the door just busts. Oh, it almost, it's almost like a rope was attached to it and it just quickly yanked the door towards.
Yeah.
It was such a good shot. And he's just standing there with like his hands behind his back.
Again, he's intimidating. That's a great effect. This window smashing, the door, you know, exploding and just revealing that he's there. And even at the end when he crashes through the fucking mirror, like all these effects are really, really good. And I don't even really see them be used in like current horror movies anymore. But imagine you see that. You're just doing your dishes or whatever. And you're like, oh, let me just, you know, and you got a window. And you're like, oh, I need some sunlight. And you just pull the curtains back and you just see the tall man just looking at you.
I would immediately think of Poltergeist 2. Oh my gosh. Man at the door.
Yeah. You're gonna die. We talked about that on Scream Kings recently because he's part of a cult. And I always say that I forgot his name is something Kane or Kane something. Anyway, Nightmare Fuel. Old men that scare me is the tall man and the old man from Poltergeist 2. Those two motherfuckers together. No, I can't. It's something hunting. Like, even how they both walk in Poltergeist 2, how he walks and he's just singing. And the way he just looks, it's just, oh my gosh, like, those, that scene just haunted me even to this day. And I'm wrong.
It's like his legs are moving faster than his arms, or his arms are moving faster than his legs.
Both his legs and arms are moving way.
it's if you saw someone walking like this, you would really question, like, what you would notice that they're walking a little differently than other people.
Yes. And the way he just looks, like his eye, he just do that whole one eyebrow thing. He's just staring. He just seems annoyed all the time too. Like when he was putting Tommy's casket in, and the way he just like walked off, I was just like, why he just seems so eggy. But yeah, this movie. Oh yeah, I guess we can get to the end when what's the name? When they finally trap him kill at him? The
fucking mine shaft, child. Yeah. He's chasing Mike through the grass. So, like you said, the lady in Labrador's stalking Mike with the knife. They both have a knife, I think, at this point. And then he's running off. This part made me crack up a little bit. So Mike is just staring at this spot in the woods. And the tall man just randomly runs out real quick. It's just stop. And it's like 3-5 seconds of them just pausing and staring at each other. And he chases him again.
Yeah.
And then Mike jumps over the mineshaft. The tall man does not know that's there. He falls in. And then the older brother, Jody, pushes this boulder down, which covers the entrance. And then he hears all the noise and shit from below. So he knows the tall man isn't dead. But then we see him and Reggie at the house. And which first of all, like, bitch, didn't you just die?
Right. But
clearly he is not dead. And so we're learning through the conversation that Jody passed away.
In a car accident.
There was a funeral recently. Yes, in a car wreck. And Reggie was letting him know this was just a nightmare that you've had. So it's explained away as a dream.
Yeah.
But it also feels like it's a dream tied in with the trauma that he's experiencing. And he, like you said, he's creating almost like the Grim Reaper out of the tall man, because all the people he's loved have had to go through his mausoleum.
Exactly. And Reggie even mentioned it. Reggie was just like, the tall man isn't real. Like, you're using that as a, you know, pretty much an excuse for, because he said, like, first he took, like, my parents and he took my brother, and he's like, no, he's not real. Jody died in a car accident, you know that. And he's kind of like parental guardian. Figure now, his guardian, because he said, I'll take care of you, and kind of just like, I'll try to live up to Jody.
What happened to the auntie?
And part of me too was thinking, like, all right, Reggie died in the dream, so maybe Mike was thinking, like, it should have been Reggie instead of Reggie instead of Jody, because obviously Reggie's still alive in the real world and Jody's dead, but in the dream Jody's alive and Reggie's dead. So maybe he was probably hoping that so he can have his actual brother back.
Interesting. This has to be summertime too, because why isn't he in school? Where are the school kids? And Reggie's talking about, you know what, let's take a trip. Let's go on the road for a few weeks. It has to be summertime.
It has to be. Or maybe you just said, fuck school. You're going through this traumatic thing. Let's just get away from everything.
Strike one is the guardian.
So what? I would love to have somebody like that. Yeah, like make sure I'm go to school and get my education. But if somebody in my family died, I'm going through a hard time. Yeah, let's just skip school for a week. It's fine.
A week is different than weeks on the road.
Maybe it's summer. Maybe it's winter break. I don't know, child. But he's not in school.
Winter break. They got nipples outside fucking.
Okay. That doesn't stop people.
During the winter?
All right, winter. Wait, where is this taking place? Like, where is this located?
That is a good question. I was wondering it while...
Because winter in California is not as cold as anywhere else.
That's a good question. Was it California they were in? I didn't pay attention to the trees.
Yeah, nor have I.
I was thinking Pennsylvania somewhere, but I could be wrong.
No, I didn't get Pennsylvania from this. I mean, maybe it's set, but maybe they just didn't film it here. I guess we'll get research from that later. But yeah, at the end, you know, Mike goes upstairs and he is grabbed through a mirror by the tall man. Yes. And the tall man just standing there looking at him. And then just grabs him. And this is how you do it. I thought about Nightmare on Elm Street when Nancy's mama was dragged through the fucking window and the door. This effect here was perfect. Like, why couldn't they do something like that in Nightmare on Elm Street? And I'm sure this budget was a lot smaller than what Wes Craven had. Well, he wasn't grabbed by the tall man. I think it was the ghouls that grabbed
him. But it was still a better way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like you snatch her through tiny hole through the door.
But dreams. True. Anything can happen in them.
Oh, it's set in Oregon. So it's set in Oregon, but the
wouldn't
shooting
it be colder?
Place primarily in California.
See, so if it takes
place Oregon, Oregon is hot as hell in the summer,
but in the wintertime it's cold. So yes, I'm assuming just colder, so. I'm assuming, I guess it is summertime then. You're right. They never mentioned school or anything, so it must be summer.
No school. I ain't see no school books. I ain't see no buses. I ain't see no kids. So I'm just saying. It had to be a dream. Okay. We already talked about that. This movie, if you want explanations, you clearly need to watch more of them. If you're okay with this just being a dream and that's all it was, and this is just a product of some shit he's been going through, then you probably are okay with this being a standalone movie. I like it as a standalone movie, but I also want to continue watching just to get an explanation for this, because I know I've seen parts 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are way more balls than the one we saw.
Yeah, we only seen it like 2 times here.
And there are black people coming in. So, you know.
Yeah.
We're gonna have some shit to watch. But what is your rating of this movie out of balls?
Balls.
1 out of 5 or 1 through 5.
Okay. I'll give it a 2.5.
Okay.
Yes, I'll give it like a 2.5. I don't hate this movie. I enjoy things about it. I'm just thinking of like rewatchability and like how often I would go back to watch this, or if I would recommend this to anybody. And at least once, yeah, I would recommend this to somebody. I would just say, hey, just watch it once. You might have a different reaction or feeling compared to what I have. I don't care for it that much, honestly. Like, it was cool. Like, it's cool.
I don't hate you. I just don't care for you.
Yeah, that's legit. Like, the movie was cute. It was cool. Again, iconic theme. The tall man's presence was, you know, scary. I just wish a lot of things was executed a little bit better in this. And I was hoping from all my memories of this film, what I thought it was, that it was going to be a lot better than what I remembered, but it was not that. I don't know. It's just, there's some things that just didn't work for me. I know this is a dream now, but it's just still a lot of questions I have, again, with the spheres, the whole fucking, the doors, like why he's using them for what, like, what is he using them for? And again, maybe these answers will be revealed and answered in the sequels, but right now, if this was a standalone movie, there's a lot of unanswered questions that I have. Unanswered for the questions I have. I don't think it's that great. I can understand why this gained a cult following throughout the years. It's not for me. I'm hoping that the sequels are a little bit more entertaining. It makes a little bit more sense, and I have more fun watching them. I did watch this twice. Again, I enjoyed some aspects, but it's just a lot of things just didn't work for me. I just hope the sequels are a little bit better. That's all I have.
Okay. I'm going to give it 3 balls because I think I would probably watch this, probably more than you would watch this.
Mm-hmm.
I like the look of it. I like the feel of it. I don't mind that it's a dream. I think it has some genuinely creepy moments. Would I suggest this? I would suggest this movie to specific types of people who like horror. There are going to be people who I know would not like this. And there are going to be people who I think would appreciate it for what it is. And, you know, if you know, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, it's a good old 3 for me. But I am excited. I know I watched part 2 like 2 months ago, but I'm curious to see what you think about that one. Matter of fact,
Can I ask you, is it at least a little bit more entertaining than this one? At least. I'm not asking for plots. I'm not asking
I
for
will if say you're
going to get things revealed, but is it more entertaining?
There's more stuff happening.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Okay.
Now, whether it's going to make more sense, I'm not going to answer that question.
Oh, God.
But there's more things happening. There may be more questions added. Who knows?
Okay. Well, this is what everybody chose. Everybody chose Phantasm. We did it. And I'm just hoping that, like you said, like you saying that doesn't help with part 2. But again, like I said, I just hope that part 2 and 3 is a little bit better.
If it makes you feel better, there are people who think the second movie is better than the first movie. There are people who say that.
Okay, I might be one of those people. We'll see. But I will say this, even though I don't really care for this movie that much, I can understand why people do go up for it. I can see it. Because like you said, you would recommend this to certain people, but it depends on the type of horror that they're into. And I agree. Like, I wouldn't recommend this to somebody that's a slasher lover, because this is not really a slasher film. And if you recommend this to a slasher lover, they're gonna be like, all right, where's all the like violence and all that stuff, you know? So you have to introduce this movie to a specific group of horror lovers.
Well, that's all I have to say about that. We're gonna leave you with one last thing. Fuck, what was the line? Wait, you think you go to heaven? You go to us.
Oh.
Period.
Okay. Period. Like, gra.
So, that could be, maybe religion is not something that is a real thing in this world, and he's just letting you know all of that is some bullshit, and I'm showing you what the reality is.
Like, but we will find out. You come to us. You're coming to the demons, to hell, bitch. How my demons look. You know what? I'm gonna make a little video playing that song and the little fucking doors running around. The top, man. Now that you bitches shook.
Yeah, that's the end of the episode, y'all. We will see y'all next week for Phantasm 2.
Two.
And yeah. Bye.
Guys, have a good one. See y'all next time. Peace.